great time. All the years a great time, especially the fall of the year. We like it so much, and we appreciate everybody. Help us come on Wednesday night and bring our numbers up on our Wednesday night, and also in our Sunday school. Appreciate those that's helping us on Wednesday night, bringing these names. We're having a prayer meeting, and also we appreciate the one that have the kids and also the youth outside. We appreciate them. We have our visitation on Tuesday at 7 o'clock, but now this time changed back. It's going to be dark, I believe, about 6 o'clock. In fact, about going to be dark time we come to church this evening, but we'll try to look at that and probably have to change the date on that. It's time again for our Mary Street Mission annual Thanksgiving dinner. We have some pieces of paper out front. It shows you about the non-perishable food donations. If you'd like to get one of these and bring some food, we have the annual annual feed. It'll be at Saturday, November the 19th. That's November 19th on a Saturday. We need a lot of help. There's a lot of people. We have the names of the captains. If you'd like to work in this like we did last year, or either donate some food, this will be out on the foyer also. If you want to bring some of these canned foods or these non-perishable items, and we'll see if they get to their donation place. But if you'd like to do this, we'll have it out there for people to see. We hope that you will take part of this. It's a very needy and a worthy cause for our area. They're doing a great job in that mission work over in Waycross. So we appreciate that. All right. We have this morning here in 1 John chapter 5, setting the issue of eternity, or we might say setting your course of eternity, because every one of us are going towards eternity every day. You will spend eternity somewhere. From time that you can remember back, I'm telling you, you've been on a journey, and the journey is going to end in eternity somewhere. The lost people, they'll be in eternity also. Saved people will be in eternity. Now, the course that you take in this life will determine really where you're going to wind up in all eternity. This morning, I hope that you know that you're saved today. If there's someone here today in my presence is not saved, today you can be saved. The Bible is whosoever will, and I'm glad that includes me. You can be saved. A great song in our old song books is Blessed Assurance. And I hope you have that blessed assurance this morning. If you do not have that, you can before you leave here. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. That is a great song and a great truth. If you understand that this morning, I hope you do. It's so great to know whosoever will can be saved. Don't matter what you've done, don't matter how old you are, that Jesus Christ said, I have all power in heaven and earth. I have the power to forgive sin. He will forgive you your sin. He has power over sin. And I just thank the Lord that whosoever will can be saved, because that includes me. But yet greater is to know that I am saved. I hope that everybody understands that this morning. I hope that you know that you're saved this morning. And then something even greater than that is know that I'm saved and I cannot lose my salvation. That should make a shouting Baptist out of everybody. To know what Jesus Christ done for me, and by faith I took that, applied it to my soul, Jesus Christ forgave me, set me up on the road of going to eternity, and I can never be turned around. Jesus Christ says, I have the keys of hell and death. Jesus Christ, when I was accepted in the body of Christ by faith in him, he locked me in. He locked me in so I can't go to hell. I can't go to hell. Whew. Man, did you know you can't go to hell if you're saved? You need to know that. Because there's a lot of people do not understand that. What Jesus Christ, well, you might have confidence. Preacher, I ain't confident in myself at all. I just trust in Jesus. It's not by what I do or how I live, thank the Lord. It's what Christ done for me on Calvary's cross. That is great. Reading these verses of scriptures in 1 John 5 through 13 tells us about this. Setting your course, setting your sail, settling the issue of eternity. Because there's a lot of people, I'm telling you, don't really know were they saved or not. But God says you shall know and can know. This is the Bible. This is what God says. And it says, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by blood and water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bears record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bears witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we have received the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he have testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Here it is. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let us pray. Father, we praise thee, Lord, this hour for that gracious word that we have just read. We want to thank you, Lord, for that great promise that you cannot lie. And Father, how we want to thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. And Father, if there's one here this day has never applied this truth to their life, this would be the day that they may know that they're on the way to heaven. It's not a guess, so Father, you put it in your word that we may know, and may know to help other people, Lord, that's stumbling, Lord, in their life. But Lord, we may know here today to settle one issue, Lord, with you, that Satan cannot come up and claim that, Lord, that we're not saved when we are saved, and settle this issue of all eternity. Father, we want to thank you and praise you for what you're doing in this service this hour. And Lord, for all the people that made it possible here this day, for all the prayers and the preparation and the Sunday school hour, Lord, and the singing, and Father, everything that was done, oh God, to make this day, make this hour a great hour, God, that we might lift up the name of Jesus Christ, and Lord, and know the power of God is upon this service, oh God. And I want to thank you and praise you, oh God, that you promised where there are two or more will be gathered together in your name, you'll be in their midst. And Father, we praise you here this day. We honor you this day, Father. We want to thank you, oh God, all for the great things that you're doing in the lives of your people. And we praise you again in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. This certainty and also this surety to know that you're saved, to know that you're saved, secure. Did you know, are you happy this morning? Are you really happy this morning? Did you know God don't want you to be happy without Jesus Christ? Did you know God do not want you to be happy without Jesus Christ? I want you to think about that for a moment, because there's always something in a person's heart without Jesus Christ is causing them not to be satisfied. There's always something in a person's heart that just can't understand what it is. They're looking here and they're looking there, because God made you with a God conscience. And God do not want you to be happy. Now, there'll be some happy days for lost people. There'll be some happy circumstances for lost people. But God do not want you to be happy without Jesus Christ. Because there's a longing in your heart The satisfaction that you have always come from Jesus Christ. So you think about that statement. God did not want you to be happy without Jesus Christ. God allowed us to have experiences of unhappiness in our life because it is the same thing as pain does to the body when you step on a nail. The unhappiness that people have in the body without Jesus Christ is the same thing as pain when we step on a nail. Pain tells us there's something wrong. But unhappiness in the life of a person tells us there's something wrong. Did you know God wants everybody to be happy, but he wants everybody to be saved? I mean, he wants everybody to accept Jesus Christ. Not willing that any should perish, that all should come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God wants everybody to be happy, but that's the only way that a person can be truly happy is in Christ Jesus. Amen? I mean, that's all there is to it. Now, there's something wrong whenever you have a pain in your body. I mean, there's something wrong whenever you have a pain in your back and it comes around to your side and you say, well, I know that's a kidney stone. You know what that pain is? That pain tells you that there's something wrong, that I'm very unhappy right now because I have that pain. Now, whenever we come to a pain in our body. You know, like I've had my arm broke before, you know, and I had my arm set. Well, I'm telling you, to try to be happy without Jesus Christ, it'd be like setting your arm without a pain pill or painkiller. Man, it would be terrible to try to set that arm without a painkiller. It tells us that there's something wrong. Saved. We say today, happy in Christ Jesus. Happy because Jesus Christ didn't just merely save us from something, but also that he saved us for something. You understand that? That's the reason that we're happy today. First John, it says, you know, to know. Many times in this book, he says to know, to know, to know, to know. Well, verse 13 just hedges it all up. Now, some believers, believe. Now, they perfectly have the right to believe what they want to believe, but they believe that they can never, ever know for sure if they're going to be in heaven. They don't know for sure. They have this hope. I hope I make it. I hope I go to heaven. I hope I do. But God says you can know. Read that verse of Scripture, 5 and 13. It says that you may know that you have eternal life, not part-time life, but eternal life. There's a whole group of believers that believes they cannot know this. No one knows whether they go into heaven or not. But the Bible says that you may know. That's what God says in his word. Well, there's also people that believes that you can be saved and lose it. You can be saved and you can lose it. Well, the Bible says you have eternal life, not part-time life, eternal life. Now, these people, I'm saying this, I'm not throwing off on nobody in no type of way whatsoever. They're entitled to what they want to believe. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It's not what this preacher says. It's what the Bible says. That we may know we have eternal life. Now, today, as you think about this, God wrote this whole book, or had it wrote by the Holy Spirit of God, penned by old John, that we might believe that we have salvation and believe by faith in Jesus Christ, eternal life, that we may know many, many things we don't know in the future. Many things are very shaky today we're living in, amen? There's a lot of things unknown. We don't know what's going to happen next week, next month. A lot of things are unknown. But today, people say there's no absolutes. The younger generation is growing up now. In the colleges, they're teaching now with a wide mind that there's no absolutes. I mean, if it's all right for you to do it, it's all right. If it's all right for you to do it, it's all right. It might not be right for you, but it's all right for you. There's no absolutes. You know why they claim there's no absolutes? Because they have tucked away the Bible. The Bible is the absolutes. If you do away with the Bible, you do away with the absolutes. If you get away from the Bible, you get away from the absolutes. The Bible says we can know. A person can know that they're saved. Now, can a person be saved and have doubts? Yes. Yes. But doubt to the spirit is what pain is to the body. It's warning you that there's something wrong. If you're saved and you have doubts, you have a spiritual sickness. Because I've had that same thing, and I feel like that every Christian have doubts sometime or another in their Christian life. I believe every Christian has some doubt sometime in their Christian life. Like sometime whenever you might do something that you know is wrong, and you have the accuser of the brother that ever says, now, do you really think you're saved and you've done what you've done? Do you really believe you saved and you didn't do what you should have done? And you know, the devil will try to get you to doubt this because it's on your behavior. And you're not saved on your behavior. You're saved on the faith of Jesus Christ. And he'll try to trick you up. I believe everybody has done this. Oh, so a lady told Mr. D.L. Moody one time, she said, "I've been saved for 40 years and I've never had a doubt." D.L. Moody said, "I doubt you're saved." And that goes along with it pretty good, don't it? Because I've had doubts, and I guarantee you, if you be truthful today, that you had doubts also. But we know by the Word of God. It'd be like me saying that me and Joyce have been married now for 40 years and we never had an argument. We come close a bunch of times. I know whenever we got married, I told her I was going to make all the big decisions. She's going to make all the little decisions, and we never had no argument because there never been no big decisions. But you see, you don't believe that, do you? Because if you've been married any length of time, you've had some arguments. If you've been saved any length of time, you have had some doubts about your salvation. And as long as the devil can get you to doubt your salvation, he's got you where he wants to. Because if you doubt your salvation, you can't help that other person. You can't even get your own life in right. So he gets you to doubt your salvation, he's got you where he wants you all the time. As you think about this now, I hope you know this morning that you're saved. This book will help you to remove all doubts, having settled and set the issue of eternity in your life. As we read this book of John, know. Now, I know that I'm saved. Now, I'm not confident in myself, but I'm confident in the Word of God because I believe the Word of God, what it says. For instance, the root of my belief, and also the fruit of my belief, and it comes out and tells me this. Why do we believe what we believe? Why? Now, I believe that I'm saved this morning. I believe I was a lost person. I believe if I had died in my sin, I went to a place called hell that God said I made for the devil and his angels. And I believe I would have been in hell for all eternity. I believe that. But I realized the Spirit of God took the Word of God and showed me the Son of God and showed me that I was a lost sinner. He showed me that Jesus Christ was a man of God. He was a Son of God. He is God, walked on this earth all those years, never sinned, could not have sinned. He was a perfect man. He was a perfect God-man, never sinned. He went to the cross of Calvary, and he paid the price that I could not pay. He shed his blood on Calvary just for me. He died. He went to the grave. I mean, they buried him in a tomb. He rose again the third day. He rose again. He was seen for 40 days after his resurrection by many of the brethren. And then Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven, and he's back to heaven at the right hand of God this day. Now, how do I know that? How do you know that? Do you believe what I just said this morning? How do you know that? Well, it tells us, John. It gives us three wonderful bases for our belief. People need to understand what they believe about their salvation. And there's a lot of people do not know this. And it gives us these three wonderful beliefs about our foundation of our salvation. John says, one thing is the work of Christ. In verse 6, I've already read, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. He said, and it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. It says the water and the blood. It's the work of Christ. This is the reason that I believe what I just told you, that I believe in Christ Jesus. And I hope you believe it today before you leave this place. In the Gospel of John chapter 19, verse 33 and 34, Jesus says, but when they came to Jesus and he saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forth came out there blood and water. Blood and water. Now, the saving blood and the sanctifying water is the reason I believe this. The work of Christ by the saving blood and the sanctifying water. The saving blood, you see, in the Old Testament, remember the Old Testament, whenever the priest would go in to the temple or the tabernacle, the first article that you might see in there was the brazing altar where the animal was put on the sacrifice and was burnt. The bloody sacrifice, the bloody altar that they would see first. Because a sacrifice had been sacrificed, that's the first thing, by the blood. You couldn't go no further than that. You had to have this blood, the brazing altar. That was a bloody sacrifice. And then after the sacrifice was sacrificed, the next article of furniture in there was a brazing, was not the brazing altar, but a brazing lever. This was a lever with water in it. And the priest had to go in and they'd wash their hands, and some even would wash their feet as they dropped down their feet, but they'd wash their hand before they'd go into the holies of holies. Because you see, they were saved by the bloodshed, and the same thing that Jesus Christ done for us. We're saved by the blood, but we're sanctified by the water of the Word of God every day. Every one of us is saved and sanctified by the water and by the blood. As you think about this now, the blood forgives us. The blood forgives us. In Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission and no forgiveness of sin. It said, now the sanctification, water now keeps us clean. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. Do you know what sanctifying word is? That great big word we use sometimes, we're kind of scared of sanctifying. That is nothing in the world but you and I as Christian people becoming more like Jesus Christ. That's what that word means. You are being sanctified every day through the word and through the spirit to become more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what sanctification is all about. From the time that you are saved until the time that you take your last breath, you are being sanctified by the Spirit through the Word of God to be more like Jesus Christ. Saved by the blood and sanctified by the Word or by the water of the Word of God this day. Sanctified, being like Jesus Christ, Rock of Ages, let this water and this blood from thy wound inside that flowed be of sinless, double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Save from wrath, that's the blood. You're saved from the wrath of God. There's no more condemnation now because you're in Christ Jesus. You're saved from the wrath 2,000 years ago. And then you said it makes me clean by the purity of the blood of the water of the Word of God. It makes me pure. I know that I'm saved. Because Jesus Christ died to purchase my salvation, and I believe what he done. Saved by the work of Jesus Christ, but also the witness now of the Spirit. In verses 6, 7, 8, 9, as I just read a while ago, he says now that Jesus Christ, you know that he died, came by blood and water. In verse 7, for there are three that bears witness in heaven, three on this earth. And it says, now, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which ye have testified of his Son. Now, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He came by water and by blood. That's a fact. How is it that makes this real to me? This is real to me. What makes this real to you this morning? As we stand in a Baptist church and open up a Bible, what makes this real to us? What Jesus Christ came to do. How is it real to me, and how is it real to you that salvation is real to me? By the Holy Spirit of God. He tells us now, if we receive the witness of man, it says, since we have, it says, you know, the witness of God is greater. We believe in the witness of man. We believe, we trust mankind. I mean, you go to a doctor, and I don't tell you, I don't know if I trust them now much more as I used to, but I tell you, you go to a doctor, you about got to trust them because you don't know nothing else to do. You have to take the word or go to another doctor and put them both together and equal out nothing. But you got to trust a doctor, have you not? And then you're going to write your prescription you can't read, and you're going to go to a drug and they're going to give you some medicine you can't pronounce. And then you're going to take it. You trust mankind, don't you? The witness of man. And then all you like to go out and eat out at restaurants, boy, you're taking a chance. And then you buy all this stuff that's already in a grocery store, is already processed. Boy, you're taking another chance, are you not? I won't eat this, I won't eat that. You don't know what you're eating because you're trusting mankind. But now if you trust mankind, it says, you know, the witness of the Spirit. Why don't you trust as a witness of the Spirit? He's greater than any what mankind can do. Trust the witness of the Spirit. To I be that Jesus Christ came and he died, and he did for me. No man can say now, if you look at the Word of God, no man can say, I can't believe. No one can say, I can't believe. God eliminated that excuse. You don't believe because you don't want to believe, but you can believe if you want to believe. God eliminated that excuse. If you're not saved this morning because you don't want to be saved, you don't want to accept Jesus Christ. You don't want to join his church. You don't want to have the commitment of Jesus Christ because he's eliminated all excuses. The witness. He witnessed to us and he witnessed in us. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son have God. And the witness in him, before he saved us, we have he witnessed to you. That after he saves us, it's a witness in us. You have that witness in us. God's word. God takes his word of God. I know, and he witnesses us about the Son of God. And then you see, we believe. And we believe that we're saved. Acts 5 and 32 says we are his witnesses of these things. So in also the Holy Spirit, whom God have give to them that obey him. He's give it to us. It's inside of you this morning. Now, I'm a diabetic. I love ice cream. I don't like a lot of sweets, but I love ice cream. So I'm eating a bowl of good old vanilla ice cream. And you come up to me and say, I don't believe in ice cream. Well, I'm going to still eat my ice cream. You're going to say, well, if I believe, I might believe in ice cream, but it's not good. What am I going to say? I got a witness in me. I'm going to tell you what, this ice cream is good. And besides that, it's already in me. Now, you may not believe in the Spirit of God. You may not believe in God, but I'm going to tell you, I already got it. Hear me today? I've got it. And you can't tell me it's not good either. I don't care whether you believe in ice cream or not. The Holy Spirit's real. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care if you believe he's good or not. The Holy Spirit is good. Why? Because of the witness in ourselves this day. I have witnessed this. I want to tell you, the work of Christ and the witness of the Holy Spirit. But you see, it's the word of the Father also. In verse 10, he says, he that believe on the Son of God have the witness in him. He that believeth not have God made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave to his Son. Now listen to this. Also 11, 12, and 13. I'll just go ahead and read it. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that have the Son have life. He that have not the Son have not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, that leaves something. When you doubt the Bible, you calling God a liar. Strong language. I didn't write it. When you doubt the Bible, you're calling God a liar. You think about that. He that believeth not God have made him a liar. God's word is the root of our belief. It's the root of our belief. God's word is a record, and it's better than any feeling or any emotion. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved this morning? The record of God is better than emotion or any feeling. If you was in a courtroom and the judge says, I want you to prove that you're married. You say, well, I remember when Joyce and myself in a little old church out there in Maynard, Georgia, I remember her walking down the aisle, and I remember seeing her, and I had a good feeling. And I just been feeling like I felt like I've been married ever since. The judge says, that ain't proof. I want some proof. Well, I go down to the courthouse and I find a document. You know what? And it's been notarized, sealed, signed, and it's a record. Then I give that to the judge about my marriage license. He said, well, that's a record. Because, you see, a record is better than feeling or emotion. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people that's told me I know that I'm saved because, man, in that old church, so-and-so, they hollered and they watered in the floor and they run around. And I'm telling you what, they done this and they done that. Buddy, I know I was saved that night. And people said, I know why I say, because I remember back to so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm going to tell you, the record is better than your feelings. And this, the Word of God, is the record. That you may know that you have eternal life. To know by the fruit of my behavior. Have they been a change? Have they been a change in your life? By the fruit of your behavior, have they been a change? What does it cause you to do? Well, there's a test here. There's a commandment test, companion test, and a commitment test, and see if you're saved or not. Today, a lot of people have said, church members that say that I'm saved. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 3 and on, and it says, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandment. He that said, I know him and keepeth not his commandment is a liar, and the truth not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him very is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that said he abides in him ought himself also to walk as even he walks. Okay. A lot of people say they're saved. John said if you're saved, you know what? It's going to show up in your life. I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of people claim they're saved today. And you know it's not my business and it's not your business to know who's saved and who's lost. But I'm going to tell you, by their life and the way they live And I'm going to tell you, you're not saved by the way you live, but I'm going to tell you what, if you're saved, you'll act like it. That's what he says here in this word of God. And it says there in verses 3 and 4 again, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandment. And he said, I know him and keepeth not his commandment. Is there a liar and truth not in him? We know that we are in him, that we keep his commandment. Now we have a problem. Now, do you keep his commandments, every one of you? Do you keep all of God's commandments? Have you kept all of them since you've been saved? Well, there's a problem then, ain't there? He just said, if you don't, you're a liar. Now here it is, we know we don't. Not one. That's kind of a frightening verse, is it not? As you think about it. Well, it all winds down to that one word, keepeth. That word, one keepeth, come from a sailor's word, and that sailor word mean that, you know, when they didn't have any way, no instruments of navigation, for the sailor, they sail by the stars. You see, they say, sail by the stars. Keep your eyes on the stars. You set your course by the stars. Now, a lot of time, they might get blown off course. You know, they might get distracted. They might get confused. But their aim and their goal was keep their eyes on that direction and keep their course on the stars. It's the same thing that you and I kept. Keep your eye on Jesus Christ. Your desire, your goal, your guide for your life is in the Word of God, His commandment to Jesus Christ. Yes, we have failed. Yes, we get off course. But you still keep it right on that course from Jesus Christ. Don't tell me you're saved if you don't have a desire to live by the Word of God. Don't tell me you're saved if you don't have no desire. I didn't say you didn't get off course. I didn't say you didn't fail. But do you have that desire to live by the Word of God? Is there a desire to live by God's rules? Are there a desire to do that? Now listen, if someone can sin willfully and knowingly against the Word of God, against the will of God, and have no convictions and have no remorse, you need to be saved. They need to be saved. Because that's test number one. Test number two, you see, is companion test. It says there in chapter 3 and verse 14, we know that we have passed from death and life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abides in death. Second proof, we're saved because we love the brethren. Saved, the fruit of our behavior. Now, start, we want to be right with God. Does everybody want to be right with God this morning? All right. Does everybody want to be right and be with God? Their brother. And that's the reason you're here this morning. One thing, you come out here to worship God, but you see, I want to be right with you. Not only that, I want to be with you. That's what we do on Wednesday night. That's what we do on Sunday night, is being with the brethren. I'm saved. People say I'm saved, but I don't want to go down that church aisle. I don't want to be a member of that church. Man, saved. I don't want to have no use for that church. Jesus Christ loved the church and died for the church. And I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, you're going to want to love the same thing that Jesus loved. Amen. If you don't, there's something wrong. Test number three, commitment test. Believe and commit is the same word Jesus Christ said in Gospel of John chapter 2 and verse 23 and 24. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, at the feast, many believed in his name, and when they saw the miracles that he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. That word commit is the same word believe. It says he did not believe in them. He did not believe in them. You don't believe about Jesus Christ, you believe in Jesus Christ. How do you know that you're saved this morning? How do you know? Well, you think back when you was 9 years old. Maybe you think back when you was 30 years old. Maybe you think back 40 years ago. But you think back and you remember some experience that you had. Did you know the Bible never uses experience for proofs of your salvation? Did that shock you? The Bible never uses your experience for a proof of your salvation. People say, I know I'm saved because I remember the time, I remember the spot, I remember the place, and that sounds good, but you can't find it in the Bible. Because it never says that we're saved because we remember something. He says, he that believes, nail it down, he that believes. The test now, do you believe this morning? Not 50 years ago, not when you were 90, but do you believe right now that you may know that you have salvation? The root of our belief and the fruit of my behavior or your behavior that you are saved. Do you believe that Jesus Christ done what he done, said what he said, and was able to go to that cross and die for you? Do you believe that now, today? Are you willing to trust Jesus Christ? Are you willing to come down this aisle and accept Jesus Christ to be a member of his church? And through his church, that's the way God works today. He don't work out an individual. He works through his church. He used to work through the nation of Israel, but now he works through his church, his local church. And anybody say that they don't need a church is saying they don't need Jesus. We need each other. Every one of us. You say, well, I don't get anything out of it. You don't come to get anything out of it. You come to give. You come to give. Well, I can live just as good as that person out of that church. You're not coming out to live just as good as that person. You come live as good as Jesus Christ, and you fail every time. What you got out of it. It's what you can get. It's what you can give. We got the whole thing messed up. We come to give and give to one another. What God has given you, you share it to other people. You got something that I need. Everybody needs one another. Amen. Now, are you saved this morning? It comes with a song of invitation. Are you saved this morning? You need to settle this issue and set this issue of eternity right now. Do you know sure without any doubt whatsoever that you're saved? I have all eyes that God has spoke to someone here this day. They had a problem with their salvation. They don't know for sure if they're saved or not. They hope so, maybe I will. You know, the whole group of people says, well, if I can just make it to heaven, I remind you that angels weren't even safe in heaven. But it's not a place, it's a person that you're safe in. That's Jesus Christ. One third of the angels got kicked out of heaven. You think you're going to be safe just because you get to heaven? No, you're safe right now in Jesus Christ. That makes a whole difference. As we sing this song and stand now, I'd like for you to come. God has spoken to your heart this hour.